Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why MyLowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new week begins right here, right now, live on a Monday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. A Monday morning to sit in the armchair and look back on a Sunday slate in NFL week number 12. In the early window yesterday, DRS, a ton of spreads at 5.5, 6.5, touchdown or more. Should have been easy victories for those hefty favorites. It was anything but. Oftentimes, when it's expected to be comfortable in the National Football League, that is when chaos ensues. Our reactions all from Sunday in what it means at the end of week number 12 with one more game on this Monday, the Harbaugh, the matchup of the Harbaughs, Jim and John tonight in Los Angeles. We'll look back on not just a chaotic weekend in the National Football League, but a ton of chaos on the second to last Saturday of the college football regular season. Action around the association, college hoops, and oh so much more over these next 3 hours.
It's Feast Week, and maybe Feast Week started off exactly what you would think last night with Saquon Barkley feasting on Sunday Night Football against those Rams. You also take a look at games like the Washington Commanders. What? Losing games to the Dallas Cowboys, who were dead and buried heading into Washington. So many interesting things across the landscape, which did include an almost loss for the Kansas City Chiefs going up against the Carolina Panthers. And oh, yeah. Those frauds that reside in the state of Indiana. The Hoosiers opened their season, and hey, they weren't ready to play. Look, man, when one team plays like 7 or 8 games to start their season, and one team finally kicks off their season late November, Ben, it just doesn't work all that well. But Cignetti is right. They're going to make the college football playoff. They're going to make it.
I must have heard something. Frauds in the state of what? Mississippi? Yeah. Alabama? Yeah. Texas, yeah. That's what you meant. Fraudulent across the Southeastern Conference. Here's the crazy thing. Despite losing their first game of the year, Indiana was a winner on Saturday. Revel in it, college football. CFP, Windiana. Get ready to learn all about the Hoosiers for the next few weeks. But we'll get to college football in just a matter of moments. We start around the National Football League in that Week 12 Sunday slate, capped off in the City of Angels on a Sunday night football affair between the Eagles and the Rams. Competitive DRS for most of the opening half, anything but in the second, and a career best day for the newest Eagle, Saquon Barkley, 302 scrimmage yards, 255 on the ground, the most in his prolific National Football League career, and 2 scores as the Eagles blow out the Rams in L.A. for their 7th consecutive victory, 37-20. Philadelphia covers as a 3-point road favorite.
Saquon Barkley looks as good as advertised and as good as ever, which the crazy thing about it for a running back with so many touches and injuries in his past, you're not supposed to look faster than you are or were, I should say, as a rookie. And he's been nothing short of spectacular. Timely plays by Jalen Hurts, explosive running by Saquon Barkley, and a defense after the first quarter that really took control of that football game for the Philadelphia Eagles. That was impressive. And you know me, Ben, I said, next 2 weeks, you got to go 1-1. Well, the Eagles got one already out of the way with the Ravens on deck, an unbelievable showdown next week. But the focus certainly is on Philadelphia. We talk about separation Saturdays in college football. There was separation Sunday. We'll talk a little bit more about the Detroit Lions. But my goodness, there is a collision course that is going to happen in the NFC playoffs between two heavyweight opponents in the Eagles and the Lions. Absolutely fantastic for the Eagles last night. That was an impressive victory as you can get.
Seven consecutive wins now for Philly. They have covered in five of the seven. Saquon Barkley, again, 255 yards on the ground last night with a 70-plus bomb to add the icing on top for Philadelphia in Los Angeles. Not just a conversation, DRS, between which teams are going to contend for that conference crown, but the individual race for an NFL MVP. Saquon Barkley now looking to become the first MVP winner at the running back spot since 2012, and Adrian Peterson the last to do it. The team we all expected to more than likely win the NFC title for a second consecutive season, but play in the NFC championship game for a fifth time in the last 6 years. The San Francisco 49ers, the short favorites entering this year, are now a game below 500, 5-6. And they got blown out yesterday in Green Bay by 28, 38-10, the victory for the Packers against a shorthanded San Francisco team that, of course, DRS was playing without their quarterback, Brock Purdy. The Pack win by 28, covering as a 6.5-point home favorite.
Without one of the best defensive ends in football, without one of the best left tackles in football, a running back that used to be the best in the National Football League, still banged up and waiting to see his explosive comeback, and also without your starting quarterback. Now, did we think it was going to be 38-10? No, but I don't think too many people are expecting a good performance out of the San Francisco 49ers, but there is a silver lining in the clouds here for them, Ben. That is a bad NFC West that they're still hanging around, even though they got hammered yesterday and might get hammered next week. Nobody's running away in the NFC West, and that's going to help the San Francisco 49ers.
Yes, it is a chaotic early slate on Sunday. 41 points in the fourth and final quarter between the Cowboys and the Commanders in Washington. Back and forth they went. We'll detail everything in this opening hour. But the end result, a Cowboys upset victory, 34-26, winning outright as a double-digit dog in Landover.
And I'll tell you what, I was shocked by the final score here. You know what else I was shocked with, Ben? My best bet on Pro Football Today, Terry McLaurin over 58.5 receiving yards, absolutely dead in the water, pulled out of the fire, rising like a phoenix from the ashes as he cashes in 5 for 102 and a touchdown. Because why? For some reason. Boy, do they have a flair for the dramatic in Washington. But Michael, you tie that game up, like, here we are, we're back, and you missed the extra point. Let me get this out, Ben. PSA, make me commissioner. The extra point is not designed to be missed in pro football. I don't know why we changed it. Like, was it more exciting yesterday that they missed the extra point and lost that football game as opposed to just having the chip shot and going to overtime? I can't stand the fact that that extra point was moved back, even though it helps my Philadelphia Eagles with the Washington loss. How anticlimactic was that yesterday after an unbelievable play once again from Jaden Daniels?
All three phases, though, DRS, you must convert. It's still only 33 yards. The Kansas City Chiefs using a walk-off field goal, which is not what we expected in Carolina. But the Chiefs bounce back from their opening loss of the year to get their 10th victory, 30-27 over the Panthers. Carolina does cover as a 10.5-point home dog.
Look, it's going to burn them sooner and later. Now, they did lose to the Buffalo Bills, but you can't just flip the switch and say, hey, it doesn't matter if we score this drive because we're winning. Hey, it doesn't matter if we score this drive. No, no. Now we need to score this drive. Okay, let's flip it in the gear and go down the field and kick a field goal here. I can't stand what I see out of the Kansas City Chiefs, but shout out to people who are correct every week. You want to lay more than a touchdown there with Kansas City? Good luck with that. You'll be out of house and home sooner than later.
1-5 against the number as a 5.5-point favorite or greater this year for KC. College football weekend. Donnie mentioned it earlier. Indiana suffers its first defeat of the season as Ohio State looks the ilk of a national championship favorite, 38-15. The Buckeyes cover as a 10.5-point home favorite. Kansas in the last month continues to spoil the Big 12 title race, knocking off Colorado 37-21. And you want to talk about fraud? The entirety of the SEC, Alabama, Ole Miss lose to 2 5-5 football teams, and Texas A&M gets outdueled in 4 overtimes by a 4-6 Auburn team on Saturday night.
Alabama, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M would all house Indiana. But again, I can't get it's 12-team playoff, Ben.
We knew
this was going to be the case. I would be very upset if it was a 14 playoff, but it's 12 teams. That is a fraud Indiana team, but the shout-out Cignetti, he knew the game. He had no shot to win that football game, but was continuously playing to stay in it so he couldn't get embarrassed and still got embarrassed. I love college football.
A master of the hypothetical. We live in reality. More of the Early Line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sunday Night Football in the City of Angels to cap off the Week 12 Sunday slate. Last night in the National Football League. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are back together here on this Monday morning to sit in the armchair and react to everything we saw around the Week 12 Sunday slate. Because each and every week now, DRS, which is 6 more remaining after this weekend, in Turkey Day on the horizon in the month of December, here in less than a week, every game has an impact on your divisional race, your conference standing in the hunt, of course, to appear in Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans. In the Philadelphia Eagles, certainly looked the part of a true Super Bowl contender. Make that 7 straight wins for the Birds, going on the road last night to LA and winning by 3 scores, 37-20. DRS, in most of the opening half, rather competitive game. The Rams jumped out to an early lead. Philadelphia looked pretty good near the end of that first half. But in the second, it was Saquon and the rest of the Eagles pulling away for good, winning by 17, covering as a 3-point road favorite. We'll talk about Saquon's career day last night in Los Angeles, but the Eagles are 9-2 in winners of 7 in a row.
Absolutely impressive yesterday. And also, the odd theme that continues with the Birds is they're terrible in the first quarters. They were down 7-3. You saw the first two possessions for the Rams. The first one probably was going for a touchdown, if not for the fumble for Kyren Williams. The second one did go for a touchdown. I was like, boy, the Eagles are actually going to wake up off the mat, or is this a really bad spot? But the one thing that we knew, Ben, watching coordinators like Sean McVay, some of the best in the business at those scripted plays that were torching the Philadelphia Eagles. Once you got through the scripted plays and teams had to make adjustments. Vic Fangio was absolutely spectacular in that second quarter. Yeah. What, -3, -4 yards total for the Rams in that quarter, where the Eagles seized control up 13-7. And then you just had that lightning bolt to start the second quarter. Hey, let's see if the Rams can get a stop, or the Eagles, to see if they can continue their dominance here. Saquon Barkley to the house on a long touchdown run, which really set the tone for the second half. The one thing I will give credit for is Matthew Stafford still has an unbelievable arm. Puka Nacua, over the next, I don't know, 3 to 4 years, if he stays healthy, is going to be one of the most dominant wide receivers that we've seen over the past decade. Cooper Kupp certainly not as effective as he was in the past, scores that late touchdown. But I'm not giving up on the Rams. But let's again focus back on the Eagles and what this means. Absolutely wrong. This was a team that was decimated with injury, sitting at 2-2 when everybody, including myself, was questioning whether Nick Sirianni was actually up for the job and how quickly Bill Belichick would accept that job in the offseason. He's kept that locker room together. The defense has been spectacular. And also, adjustments here. Look at Kellen Moore. Hey, look, I want to be a high-flying passing attack that has vertical routes all day long, and understanding what a dynamo you have in the backfield in Saquon Barkley and letting him eat. 26 carries for 255. You have a quarterback that's making $250 million, and still he's even saying, you know what? I don't need to throw it all over the lot here. Let's just give it to the running back, the best player on our football team. It's great to watch. In the Eagles at 9-2, incredible.
Absolutely so, DRS. And they have now covered in five of those seven victories here in a row. Four times as a favorite, including all three matchups against their divisional foes to position themselves in a great spot. And then the Eagles carry that over into LA on a Sunday night. We'll talk about the Rams in just a moment. But in each and every way, Philadelphia looks like a true contender in the NFC. And to your point, DRS, destined for a matchup at some point in the postseason against the Detroit Lions. Over 48.5 last night as well. Two separate 70-yard dashes to Pater for Saquon Barkley. 255 yards on the ground, a career high for a prolific running back in the National Football League. 30 total touches last night, over 300 scrimmage yards as well. We'll talk about the Eagles ceiling. Donnie, Saquon Barkley now has the third best number to win the NFL MVP award at plus 650. Josh Allen, the favorite, Lamar Jackson, both in front of Saquon. I'm not really sure the argument is all that great for either guy to be in front of Saquon Barkley at this moment. We have not seen a running back win the MVP hardware since Adrian Peterson back in 2012. 11 consecutive years of a quarterback winning the MVP award. Does Saquon Barkley have a realistic chance of being that most valuable player?
Yes, he does, because you know how you get these moments, Ben? We talk about in college football with the Heisman Trophy. Where's your Heisman moment on national TV in a primetime game where everybody can watch you? You had one of those last night for Saquon Barkley. You know what you get again? Next weekend against the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore with Derrick Henry as that tailback. Nobody's going to predict that Saquon Barkley's running for 255 again this year. That's insanity. Or have multiple 70-yard touchdown runs, let alone in a game, but just a half itself. But if you tell me next week the Eagles go into Baltimore and the catalyst once again is Saquon Barkley, let's say 22 carries, 110 yards, and a touchdown, why is he not continuously moving up that ladder as long as the Philadelphia Eagles win? Absolutely, he should be in that conversation. And also, the reason why he's in that conversation, Ben, nobody's running away with things at the quarterback position right now, whether it's team record and or performance at the same time. That's usually the double combo. Like, you tell me a team has one loss like the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes has 31 touchdowns and six interceptions at this point in the season, he'd run away with it. But we don't have that. We have the record there. Then you take a look at Lamar Jackson having a sensational season, but the record not necessarily there, or even a first place team in their own division. Yeah. Saquon Barkley is getting a lot of points right now with the Philadelphia Eagles. That should even compound them next week if they can beat the Ravens.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, Josh Allen, I think, is the deserved favorite at this moment. But he's only thrown for 2,543 yards. That's 14th in the NFL right now. He's got 23 total touchdowns, 18 through the air. It's not like he is decimating the stats. In fact, the best quarterback stats are with Joe Burrow, but his team, as we know, three games below 500. Now let's talk about the Birds as a whole, that team ceiling. In DRS, I want to focus on the NFC Championship price. 3-1, about $1.50 behind Detroit, plus 145. But the next best price closest to Philadelphia, that's the Packers, $4.50 back at plus 750. It is a tier of two. It appears to be a two-team race of the heavyweights at the top.
Yeah, because here's how it's shaping up quickly here. The Lions probably are going to get that number one seed and the bye. That is massive. But the Eagles line to that two seed, you're going to play the Packers and or the Vikings if you get a chance at home before having to go on the road to take on Detroit. Awesome stuff.
A lot of NFC North teams near the top of the odds. We'll talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The race for the top spot in the NFC. A lot of focus on our Week 12 Sunday slate around the National Football League, recapped here on a Monday morning on the early line on SportsGrid. You could say the story of the season, DRS, for the NFC Championship favorites, in the short ones at that, entering this season for San Francisco, it has been injuries. And not just a couple here and there or a lot in the early portion of the season, but injuries to the most impactful players all year long, the 49ers entered a game, a renewal of an NFC rivalry at Lambeau Field, shorthanded once again. No Brock Purdy, no Nick Bosa, no Trent Williams. Significant injuries that have cast a shadow on this season for San Francisco all season. It was the story yesterday in Green Bay as well. The Packers take advantage, to their credit, winning by 28, 38-10. They easily cover as a 6.5-point favorite. Total of 44 and a hook does sky over. DRS, first game since the NFC Championship won in Philadelphia at the end of the 2022 season that the 49ers were booked as an underdog. They looked like the dog yesterday, getting blown out in Lambeau and a big win for Green Bay, their eighth this season.
Impressive by the Green Bay Packers. Just because a team is wounded out here doesn't mean you could roll the helmets on and easily beat them. Case in point, Washington and Dallas, which we'll get to a little bit later in the show. Yeah. This was one of those beatings that I anticipated from a Packers perspective. Line opened up around 2.5, closed around that 6.5 range. Like, ooh, I wonder if the Niners can really have a great effort with Christian McCaffrey. Yesterday on the desk on Pro Football Today, breaking this game down, it's simple to me. I said, you know, sometimes you take a look and say, do I think the Niners can win this game? Probably not. But you know how they won't win this game? McCaffrey rushing for 60 or so yards in that game. He ended up 11 carries for 31 yards. You're just not as explosive with Brandon Allen at quarterback as you would with Brock Purdy. I was worried about George Kittle with his hamstring injury, but how about this? 6 for 82 and a touchdown. He was just fine. But who were going to be those secondary wide receivers to step up since Brandon Ayuk went down? And I still look at Deebo Samuel. One catch for 21 yards. I mean, you got to be a better football player. And I almost realized, like, well, Deebo's only good because he had so many good players around him where you can't pay attention to him. Now when the defense can line up and focus on Deebo wide receiver, he's been insignificant to say the least. But let's also focus on the running back position here in this game. Josh Jacobs, 26 carries, 106, and 3 touchdowns. Think about the 3 biggest free agent signings on the market at the running back position last year. Saquon Barkley, phenomenal. Derrick Henry, phenomenal. Josh Jacobs, phenomenal. This is a great sign for running backs that were basically a year ago, before this offseason, were tossed aside like, we're not going to pay any money because running backs are insignificant. Bull. Look at, I mean, Josh Jacobs could be one of those bell cows in bad weather in Green Bay that you can absolutely lean on. Now, let me say this, Ben. One thing about the San Francisco 49ers, I would love to bury them today. I do think they're going to wind up being 5-7 after next week, but still being in the race in the NFC West. Here's the thing with the Green Bay Packers. I do believe they're going to beat the Miami Dolphins on Thanksgiving night at home, Thursday night. Great spot for the Green Bay Packers. But I'm not buying them just yet, Ben. I'm waiting for the next two games where I think they lose both of those games coming up, and then I'm going to buy in when they play the Saints here for the rest of the season. I think I can get a better price to win the NFC at plus 750 in about a month than I can right now. I'm holding off on the Packers, not because I don't like them, because I can get a better price, and nobody is going to want to see the Packers as one of those wild card teams, which is what they're going to be coming up.
For sure, but there is a distinction already, DRS, between the Lions and the Eagles, that top tier of two, and everybody else around the NFC. Green Bay was great yesterday. Did exactly what was needed. Josh Jacobs, a bell cow. 106 and 3 touchdowns. Jordan Love didn't have more than a 170, but did have 2 passing scores. He should have had more. A lot of costly drops yesterday, but they didn't need much else. Defense was really good as well. San Francisco, just 44 yards on the ground as a team. 2.8 yards per pop. You would think that with all of the playmakers they have, Christian McCaffrey, Jordan Mason, Deebo Samuel, who did not have a carry yesterday, that could be the biggest help to Brandon Allen, who was 17 of 29 for a 199, a touchdown and an interception. Not a lot, DRS, that you could really look at with San Francisco and feel optimistic about right here, right now. That 6-1 price to win the NFC West is intriguing because the Niners are only a game out of the top spot. But based on a 1-3 divisional record, they sit in last place with the longest price.
Absolutely, and they should be there. And also keep in mind, Ben, we always talk about like injuries. Like, hey, Brock Purdy will be back super healthy next week against Buffalo. Do we even know if he's going to play? And how injury-prone is that shoulder now once he does come back? Things aren't looking great for the San Francisco 49ers. The only thing is great is the NFC West isn't a wrap.
And that's exactly where we go. Up next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What to make of the NFC West? Does anybody want to win this division? That is the question at this moment. Because DRS, the Rams lose big on Sunday night at home. LA now a game below 500, 5-6. San Francisco shorthanded, gets blown out in Wisconsin. They lose by 28. They're now a game below 500 at 5-6. The only team that had a winning record entering Sunday's Week 12 slate, that was the Arizona Cardinals, fresh off a bye and riding a four-game win streak. Well, they're still above 500, but now no longer just the only team in the division. As Seattle pulls off the slight home upset in the Northwest in front of the 12s, 16-6 against Arizona yesterday. It was a virtual pick'em for most of the week. Arizona slightly edged out Seattle on the money line by about 14 cents as the road favorite. So the Seahawks do slightly win outright. Make that two consecutive victories, though, DRS, for Seattle. Last week on the road, outright as the underdog in Santa Clara over the 49ers. Yesterday, a solid defensive outing against the Cardinals to win their second straight in the NFC West and now be tied atop the divisional lead alongside Arizona.
That's why you got Mike McDonald, right? Play some good defense at times. You got that yesterday to the Seattle Seahawks that they improved to 6-5 and dropped the Arizona Cardinals to 6-5. I wasn't surprised that Kyler Murray did have a good game because I thought there was some chances to exploit that secondary. 24-37 for 285, but didn't throw a touchdown pass and did throw an interception. But look at the ground attack here. You're telling me James Conner went into this game 7 carries for 8 yards, oh, and you finish as a team 14 carries for 49 yards, only 3.5 yards per carry? Now, granted, I also like the way the Arizona Cardinals have been playing on defense. They've been ferocious. And also keep in mind, sure, you know, one of those touchdowns in the game ended up being a pick six at this point. So that's if the Arizona Cardinals defense was a sieve. You take a look at Geno Smith, 254, one touchdown, one interception, but also a vaunted ground attack here for Seattle. 25 carries for 65 yards, only 2.6 yards per carry. In the game, I thought we'd have fireworks on the offensive end. We actually had fireworks on the defensive end, but that's a good win by the Seattle Seahawks. And also, if you were just looking at the line coming into the game, that was a lot of respect on the Arizona Cardinals. They weren't able to hold up their end of the bargain. No shame in losing that game. A lot of people go up to them, go play Seattle in Seattle and lose games by a close margin, which they did. But this is going to be an interesting fight between these two teams the rest of the way, along with the Rams and the 49ers. But I was just really impressive where sometimes I like different ways to win football games. I thought there would be a lot of points in this one, but the fact of the matter is Seattle's defense really came to play and they were the star yesterday.
And DRS, when we were doing our pick six on Friday, I looked at this game. It was my favorite under on the board because of how well Arizona's defense had played in their four-game win streak. Under in 3 of 4, 30 points in the 3 games they had covered in those matchups. And then to Seattle on the other side, over in 5 of their first 6, now under in 5 consecutive games. Kobe Bryant, 69-yard pick six, interception return touchdown. That was really it in terms of big scoring in the game, and that was in the third quarter for the Seahawks as well. So under 47.5 is how it came through. Donnie, as we look at the NFC West divisional prices and the standings right now, Seattle slightly in front, both Seattle and Arizona at 6-5, I say from a standings perspective. This was the first meeting of the year between the Cardinals and the Seahawks, so Seattle owns that direct head-to-head tiebreaker advantage currently for that number one spot in the NFC West. But Arizona, a slight favorite by 20 cents, plus 155 for the Cards, plus 175 for the Hawks. But it's not just those two, DRS. They're at 6-5, but the Rams and the Niners, both 5-6. And really, here's where I think we stand right now within this division. Mm-hmm. One team from the NFC West, more than likely, into the NFC postseason. Maybe not our thought entering the year, but I think only the divisional title winner at this time will be that representative of the division.
Yeah, San Francisco's got a tough, you know, still road to go here. And we talk about next week at Buffalo. By the way, Buffalo coming off of a bye week. Let's just say they drop to 5-7. It makes it a lot harder. But if you are buying the 49ers with a legitimate chance to hang around, you're going to wait till after next week's game when they lose to the Buffalo Bills. But if we do focus on the Arizona Cardinals, it's doable here, guys. You go on the road next week to the Vikings. The Vikings are good. Let's just say that's a loss and drops you down again. Look at the next couple games coming up. Return battle with the Seahawks in your own building. The New England Patriots, a bad football team in your building. On the road against the Panthers, a game that you should be able to handle your business there. Then shapes up at the Rams, which would be a big game at that point. And the final game of the season against the 49ers in your own building. This is the Arizona Cardinals division to win. Even if they wanted to win yesterday, which would have given them a great leg up, still like Arizona's prospects here for the final parts of the season. I think the schedule is manageable for them to win this division.
In DRS, again, when you look at this division, you must keep an eye on the divisional record of all of these four teams. Because if this is the best path for Seattle, Arizona, LA, or San Francisco to reach the playoffs, then what you have done in the division will be paramount. And right now, Seattle's even 2-2. Arizona, first loss yesterday, but that direct head-to-head against the Hawks at this moment. Arizona, though, still 2-1. The Rams 2-1, but they did lose to Arizona in the first meeting of the two. Here's the damning thing for the Niners. Although they lost big yesterday in Green Bay, is their outlook completely dismissed? No, because they play in the NFC West. But what is the record in division? Just 1-3. That is not going to be a benefit for San Francisco. And yet, again, DRS, when I look at all of those prices for the four teams, Arizona at the top, San Francisco at the bottom, if you want to bet a playoff number on any of these four teams from the NFC West to get to the postseason, I think it is that divisional price.
Yes, and also, if you're right about that, because also you took it to San Francisco 6-1. That's going to get worse next week. It's like, ooh, this is going to be a ride where maybe they're only still a game and a half back even after next week's loss. The only problem here as you start to line it up is you're going to take on the Bears at home. You should win that game, but who even knows how healthy you would be? The Rams at home, you should win, but here's the tough part of the schedule. The final three games. At the Dolphins, home to the Lions, and at the Cardinals. All three of those teams probably still fighting for either positioning to get into the playoffs or just trying to get a higher seed or clinch home field advantage like the Lions. What I've seen out of San Francisco, if I think the injuries stay about the same as they are, I don't think they can make the playoffs. But it is intriguing that price point you're going to get next week where one of the teams, hey, San Francisco coming into the season, yep, easy, they're going to win that division, no question about it. Now flipping it over to where they might be a 10-1 favorite to win the division, a game and a half back, like four to play. That's insane. Yeah. That's an insane price to pass up, but still not going to get me to bite on it.
Hefty odds on favorite entering the year to win the NFC West. Plus 290, a drastically short price in comparison to everybody else around the conference before the season got underway. Now 26-1 on the 49ers. And for a second consecutive week, after not being an underdog since the end of 2022, the Niners are a hefty road dog, getting 6.5 points in Western New York on Sunday night against the 9-2 Buffalo Bills. The Bills, of course, have the upper hand in the AFC over the Kansas City Chiefs in that direct head-to-head tiebreaker, but the Chiefs still in pole position. A 10th victory in 11 games for the Chiefs yesterday. On the road, though, as a 10.5-point favorite, DRS, they had to walk it off. Spencer Schrader, 31-yard field goal to win it for the Chiefs, 30-27. But the Panthers cover as that double-digit home dog in Carolina.
Yeah, not a great look overall, right, for the Kansas City Chiefs. Yes, a win is a win, and you thought maybe going into that sleepy environment after a high-performance game against the Buffalo Bills, which you lost, which gave you your first loss of the season, they improved to 7-1. They'll take it. Like, there's no style points in the NFL. Just wins make some sense. But again, just getting back to the point for the Chiefs, just can you just flip that switch early and just blow a team out? You're up 20-9 at the break, and you let them hang around, which means they could have stolen a football game late. But when the Chiefs need the score, it feels like, Ben, it's automatic. They always score, just like they did yesterday. 10-1. Hey, all they do is win.
We'll talk more about the Chiefs, what the outlook means, and some other chaos in the early window next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue to recap and review the Week 12 Sunday slate all around the National Football League, live right here on a Monday morning on SportsGrid. DRS, there is no doubt Kansas City has the best record in the AFC at 10-1, but you can poke a couple of holes in how KC has skated by to get those 10 victories. In fact, the Chiefs making history yesterday, but maybe not in the best component ever. Kansas City becoming the first team in NFL history to win 8 of their first 11 games by 7 points or fewer in all of those 8 victories. They've got 10. They've won a couple by double digits, but 8 of the first 11 by a single possession or fewer. DRS, again, an NFL record. In Kansas City yesterday, expected to bounce back from the opening loss of the season in Buffalo. In Hammer, a Carolina team that sure had won 2 consecutive games, but would be nowhere close to even keeping this competitive. So maybe if KC didn't cover as a 10.5-point road favorite in Charlotte, they'd at least win comfortably by 7, 8, 9, 10. No, a walk-off field goal to end the game from now their reserve kicker in Spencer Schrader. The Panthers have now covered in 3 straight for a team that did not win and did not even cover, booked as an underdog. So good news for Carolina, but the Chiefs just 1-5 against the spread as a 5.5-point favorite or greater this year. They are squeaking by and against the best in the NFL, DRS. Despite the pedigree the Chiefs have built up, and rightfully so, it is a slight cause for concern.
It is a cause for concern because nobody's afraid of the Chiefs. You know, in the past when they had Tyreek Hill, it's like, my goodness, Patrick Mahomes, what are we going to do? Certainly don't want to play them. I'm not saying people want to play the Chiefs because the Chiefs' 10-1 record says a lot there. They know how to win football games, but they're not as decisive as they were in the past. And yes, if you're playing down to your competition, eventually it's going to snipe you. Should have lost actually to the Denver Broncos. They get the blocked field goal there. They did lose to the Buffalo Bills. And they, I can't even say they almost lost to the Carolina Panthers because I don't know if they were really in danger of losing that game because they never got behind and they still had the lead and they easily went down the field when it mattered most to get that game clinching field goal. But this is one of those things where it lines up where they better get home field advantage again. Now, when I say that, it's like, okay, anybody with home field advantage in the playoffs, it's certainly an advantage to you, specifically at Arrowhead. Very hard to beat the Chiefs there. But I would be an idiot to say like, oh, well, if the Chiefs don't get home field advantage, they can't win anything. Did you watch what they did last year with a similar structured team and went to the Super Bowl and won it? Maybe the best 3-game run I've ever seen from any playoff team, beating the Bills on the road, the Ravens on the road, and then the talented 49ers in the Super Bowl. So who am I to say the Chiefs absolutely can't go on the road and win? And who's going to doubt Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes? As long as you have them. I'm just saying I'm not coming into games like, ooh, I don't know if I can bet against the Chiefs this week. No, when they're laying a touchdown or more, you always bet against the Chiefs and you can feel comfortable. Even in a game, the lowly Panthers, I said, what are you kidding me? 10.5, 11.5 points? No way. And it looked like they were actually on the way to a cover, but the Chiefs do what they always do. Take their foot off the gas, relax, give up some points. But if they need to score points to go ahead or clinch the game, they always do that here. Case in point, 30-27 yesterday.
Like they did when they got the football back and Patrick Mahomes continues to make plays that astound us 33 yards on a scramble down the sideline to set Kansas City up for the victory. If you wanted to take the other approach, the glass half full approach, this Chiefs team, regardless of where it is, always finds ways to win football games. And that, of course, is what counts. What a crazy day, though, for another double-digit favorite at home yesterday. The Commanders looking to bounce back and snap what was going to be in this matchup, DRS, a 2-game losing skid. And they got the Cowboys, who had looked lifeless really all year, but certainly with Cooper Rush as the starting quarterback. Should have been easy in Landover. It was anything but. And then it got crazy. 41 points of the 60 in total scored in the fourth and final quarter. 31 of the 41 in the final 3 minutes of regulation. That included a Kevontae Turpin 99-yard kick return touchdown for Dallas. And with about 21 seconds left an 86-yard touchdown strike from Jaden Daniels to Terry McLaurin that I still have no idea what the Cowboys were doing. It made the game 27-26. The Commanders, and in that spot, Austin Seibert should have hit just an easy extra point to send it to an extra session. He missed wide left. Then, just for good measure, Dallas returns an onside kick, which they shouldn't have, to win 34-26. The Commanders have lost three in a row. The Cowboys snapped their five-game skid in maybe the most wild 3 minutes of regulation we have seen throughout this NFL season.
Yeah, shout out Wanya Thomas yesterday for that return, because it's not the right play, but put yourself into the play. Like, it's not as if it's Saquon Barkley or even like Travion Henderson for Ohio State, right? You run into the open field and maybe just take that dip down. Dude, I've been in the end zone 50 times in my career. It's no big deal. We're going to clinch this game. I'm going to look real smart. Coach is going to love me. Did you notice when he went to the sideline, like, everybody was sort of staying away from him? Nobody really wanted to dap him up all that much. Because, like, brother, we know you want to score an NFL touchdown. We get it. But come on, man. You're talking about a team in Washington has a penchant for, oh, you're going to give us a couple seconds? Watch what we can do with it. It sort of made me laugh it a bit. But the bigger laugh was the Washington Commanders just losing this game to a dead in the water Dallas Cowboys. And now a team that I thought was destined for the playoffs, no question about it, Ben, I'm starting to worry. Hear me out on this. Yes, they're still a talented football team. Brian Thomas left there. Brian Robinson Jr. left that game with an injury yesterday. Yep. You also saw, if you did take a knee on that final, you know, recovery onside kick, you wouldn't have another running back in Austin Eckler go down and look like a bad concussion yesterday. And now you're starting to line up saying three straight losses. Does it turn into four? Does it turn into five? Because it's no simple thing making it to the playoffs. Did you see the NFC North and what they're bringing to the table with three of those teams there, which two of them were likely to get into the playoffs through the wild card? Tough scene for the Commanders. It's been an awesome season, and it looks like it might be slipping away.
And DRS, I think that is really, really well said, because our ultimate reaction for Washington losing short week Thursday night game in that battle for NFC East supremacy was, hey, tough spot for the Commanders. Yep. They'll still see the Eagles again, but regardless of the divisional race, this Commanders team is a shoe-in to the postseason. Yes. Now 7-5, just a half game lead for the final spot in that wild card race. And a minus 550 price to reach the playoffs is now down to just minus 200 elsewhere around the NFC. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Some storylines around the National Football League for the week number 12 Sunday slate. Two teams emerging off a bye. The Buccaneers trying to snap a four-game losing skid, and the Giants returning to the man known as Cutlets, Tommy DeVito. Wasn't great yesterday. Perhaps what we should have expected. Perhaps what the G-men were telling us by starting DeVito and not Drew Lock. We don't want to win football games. Our focus is on the future. Tampa goes to MetLife and wins big 30-7. The Bucs cover as a 5.5-point road favorite. A total of 40.5 does stay under. Tampa, despite losing four straight entering DRS, now with the victory and a cover yesterday, has covered in three straight. Four rushing touchdowns for the Bucs yesterday, including Baker Mayfield, Sean Tucker, the rookie, Bucky Irving, the rookie with nearly 150 scrimmage yards, and a potential special guest here on the Spiz Grizz Network maybe tomorrow, Rashad White, also hitting pay dirt as well. The Giants, just 245 total yards on the other side. Tommy DeVito, 21 of 31, 189 passing yards. I know you did find some profits on the man known as Cutlets utilizing his legs.
Yeah, exactly. That's maybe the only thing he did yesterday was use his legs, 7 for 32. You look at his passer rating, say, well, 83.9 isn't that bad. His QBR, 14.8. That tells the tale where who knows if you were getting an upgrade from Daniel Jones or not. Yesterday certainly didn't feel like that. And also Tyrone Tracy, your young, talented running back, 9 for 42, I believe, had a key fumble in the red zone earlier in that game, which could have possibly got them a little bit back. But the focal point was the Buccaneers, the better team all day long. And you're right, Baker Mayfield throws for 294, but not a touchdown. Why? Because they ran four of them in, including one from Baker Mayfield, who he took to the skies. And then he's like, you know what? Manja out here in the own building here. with Tommy Cutlets. And by the way, Tommy Cutlets said he's going to focus more on football. Maybe he should go back to focusing more on the action off the field than on it, because I don't know how much longer he's going to be the starting quarterback for the New York Giants. But then again, they don't want to pay Drew Locke an extra $250,000 if he like wins one football game. So away the Giants go. But good win for the Bucs. And by the way, that division in the NFC South, up for grabs still. Maybe the Buccaneers can sort of creep back into that thing.
Yes, it certainly is, DRS. 5-6 now for Tampa. Mike Evans returns yesterday for the Buccaneers as well. The only detrimental thing for the Bucs, although both games were close, they got swept by the Falcons in the regular season. That is a huge advantage for Atlanta. And yes, Baker did give an ode, if you will, to Tommy DeVito. NFC North. What a battle it is between a couple of those teams, all with hefty winning records, and what a battle it was yesterday at Soldier Field. The Vikings were cruising early in the fourth quarter, up by two touchdowns against Chicago, only for the Bears to rally all the way back, including recovering an onside kick, which is 22 ticks remaining in regulation. And Cairo Santos, who had another field goal blocked in the opening half, drilled a 48-yarder to force overtime. But in OT, it was John Parker Romo on the other side for the Vikings, hitting the game winner from 29 yards out. Minnesota still emerges with a win in Soldier Field, 30-27. 3-point spread at the end, so a push on either side. Total of 39.5 does go well over because of that dramatic fourth quarter comeback.
I love it. I love this win for the Vikings. I say, what, are you kidding me here? You almost blew that game. No, take a look at the final numbers here. Sam Darnold threw for 333 yards in that game. Justin Jefferson had 27 of those yards. Addison, 8 for 162. Hockenson, 7 for 114. Aaron Jones, 22 for 106. I love when football teams win. What's the pathway heading into it? Well, JJ's got to have a big game on the outside if they want to beat the Bears. He had a terrible football game, and they still won that game? Sign me up for that, because we usually lean on that defense for the Vikings to sort of close the door and really hold opponents and restrict what they can do. The Chicago Bears did open that game up late, but also credit the Vikings getting it done, not using their best player. I love to see that. And now the Vikings, you say 9-2 Vikings. Detroit overshadows that entire division, but damn it, 9-2 and sort of like, hey, we don't really know what they are just yet. Come on, man, the Vikings are a good squad.
9-2, 7-1-1 against the spread in those nine victories. Just the second over in any of the nine wins for the Vikes this year, because the defense for a good majority of the game was great, and the defense for a good majority of this season has been outstanding as well. The Bears have now lost 5 in a row. Again, there should be and must be some changes to that Eberfluser guy getting shipped out of the city next year. But if you want a silver lining, Caleb Williams, 340 yards and multiple touchdowns. More around the NFL in hour two starts next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.